Sox fans, welcome back to Hot Takes and Heaters. Hey, this is an MLB-centric, Chicago White Sox-centric, of course, under the umbrella of the future Sox world. He's Danny Miller. I'm Nick Morawski. We're almost close to counting it down, hours away from opening day, as our Chicago White Sox host the Detroit Tigers opening series of the 2024 campaign. Spring training has wrapped. Some decisions might still be made, some secrets that they're not going to reveal quite until possibly Thursday. A lot of ins and outs, as the dude would say, about this team. We're going to chop it up, make some predictions, talk about opening day because we're going to be there. But hey, Danny, how are you, man? How's your headspace? Because we've got, we're starting to feel a little excited here.
Yeah, well, you know, so here's the thing. You know, anybody who's been following us for, you know, the last couple of months knows that Danny, this guy, is on his way out of a employment, right? You know, we discussed that my yep. employer is closing their doors permanently. Today was the last day that I was going to be in the building. So, you know, looking out towards my summer here, I'm going to have some time on my hands, at least for the next couple of months, rehabbing from a knee thing. And, you know, I'm thinking I might go spend some time at the ballpark, as bad as this White Sox team is predicted to be. And I know, you know, a lot of fans out there are like, don't waste your money. Don't spend your money. Some people are adamant, like, you know, that's the only way we're ever going to be able to change how our owner treats his fans is if everybody just stops showing up. But, you know, I'm not sure if that's really true, because if you look at the second half of a lot of the seasons in the last decade or so, there's nobody at the ballpark. So I don't know if that's going to make any difference. I don't think our owner really seems to care. But, yeah, you know, here we are. It is Tuesday evening. Opening days, Thursday afternoon, and I'm pretty stinking excited to be getting back out to the ballpark, regardless of the product that we may or may not see on the field. And speaking
yeah.
of,
yeah,
you mentioned that some of the guys from Future Sox are going to be out at the game. I did put a tweet out earlier this afternoon that we're going to be doing some giveaways, some little Future Sox swag out at the ballpark, man. How you feel about that?
You've gotten kind of creative, and you've put some time in, and boy, you got like just a backpack full of these things that you're going to be just like Johnny Appleseed almost.
Yeah.
Preaching the good word, dropping magnets in people's hands all over the place. I mean, you want to talk about what you got in store here?
Yeah. So, you know, I touched on it a little bit last week at the end of the show, but I figured since we're rolling into the season here, I want to kind of get that out there early in the show tonight. Pardon me. Got a little something going on there. I did end up with a nice stack of refrigerator magnets for those of you who are looking to do a little meet and greet with the Future Sox crew that's going to be out there. You and myself are going to be there along with Ian, James, Elijah, and Steve, Sleepy Harold.
Yeah, Sleepy Harold.
We're all going to be out there. We're all going to be hanging out. We're going to be planning on getting there early to, you know, kind of see some folks. Like you mentioned before, we all have those people that we want to see. You know, we may not talk to them very often or see them very often outside of White Sox games, but it's always nice to kind of say Happy New Year and, you know, sharing that connection that we all have as White Sox fans. And now with the new venture here at Future Sox, I kind of felt like maybe it was a good way to have us be able to see our fans if they're out there. If you guys want to come hang out, tell us how much you love all our shows, or tell us how stupid you think we all are, by all means. We all have thick skin, so bring it on. You know, I don't claim to be a genie or a wizard of words by any sort, but you know, we'll be out there. I do have the magnets as well as if you mention Hot Takes and Heaters. I know nicotine is not everybody's first choice. You know, a lot of us have quit and put those down. So I took it upon myself to grab a bunch of cigars for those who like to partake. Yep. And if you mention the show Future Socks or Hot Takes and Heaters, I will have a cigar ready and waiting for you. So guys, come out, check us out. We'll be hanging out in the lots, and we'll give you live updates on the day of let you know exactly where we are. Cause obviously, you know, parking can be a little bit of a nightmare in opening.
Yeah. I'm curious about that, Danny. I wonder if there's going to be any changes. It's been a mess the last couple of years. Obviously getting into the ballpark has been a problem. Opening day, you know, I'll get there early. I'll be there early roaming around. You know, I know there's always something going on at lot B, but everybody's got their favorite lot, you know, there's going to be setups and tailgates going on all around the ballpark. It should be a relatively nice compared to previous home openers, you know, 50s, sunny, you know, maybe a little chillier down there at 35th and Shields. But man, again, you can't complain too much. Tickets still available. Let's say that there are good tickets still available. And I think there's going to be walk-ups, and I think they'll get over the half capacity, three quarters, which is, you know, kind of depressing still to think about it. But that's the way that I think a lot of people look at this team. You know, we've seen all the projections that have come out from so many different major publications and the prognosticators that follow this team, this sport so closely. What so many people have said, Ozzie and Chuck went on NBC Sports Chicago and did their little preview show here on Tuesday night. And, you know, we can maybe mention some of their projections in terms of win totals when we get to some of ours later in the show. But it's just a fun day. You know, we started talking about it last week, and it's like the slate is clean. You know, even though we as Sox fans kind of that have been following this in the offseason and what we have a good feeling of what could happen. There's always this hope, right? There's this hope if this and that and this goes, if all these different things go correctly, you know, maybe we can have some exciting baseball. But it's not like this isn't like March Madness, you know, where, hey, maybe if we just don't make mistakes, we can upset a one seed as a 12 seed or something. Like, you never know what can happen, right? Anybody can beat anybody on any given day, but this is a 162. This is a marathon where you've got to have the horses. So, you know, there could be some excitement out of the gates. April, May, the Sox traditionally don't play very well out of the gates. And, you know, if you can't beat your division this year, it's going to be tough because you're playing some teams that are built for October and April and May. But, you know, we'll get to some of those, you know, personnel decisions, the team decisions, the cuts, and what possibly the bullpen and rotation can look like, of course. But, you know, opening day, you know, I'm excited to just, you know, like you had mentioned, see people I haven't seen in several months, you know, that I only kind of communicate either on a podcast or, you know, we check in on Twitter X or social media or something else. And, you know, just celebrate, you know, like, good to see you again. And hopefully it's a long summer of seeing folks. But, you know, when you said that, you know, personally, you know, this is kind of it for you. With your job and last day, and you know, you're getting your ducks in a row with some other stuff, but that is kind of what I fall back on with White Sox baseball, is really no matter how bad they are, it's that constant in our lives when there's so many weird things happening, whether it's personally, professionally, just stuff at home. It's, you know, during the summer, spring and summer, they're there just about every day, every night. And you can kind of forget about everything that happened in your day and check out and just, you know, consume some Sox baseball.
Yeah. You know, it's like I said, it's that bond that we all share as White Sox fans, regardless if you are as excited to be out there as some other folks are, whether you're a stat head or you're just a guy who's going to check out some baseball. If you're going for the ballpark food and the smells and don't really care about anything on the field, you're having a hell of a time every time you go out there, because you're not having the headaches that some of us have. Obviously, everybody wants to see a White Sox winner as a fan, but we just share that camaraderie, and most of us share in the victories and the excitement of those victories. we also share in the pain of the losses, and we have been sharing a lot of that pain over the last few years. So it's just nice to be able to get back out there with, you know, at least like-minded in, you know, one part of our life, folks. Yeah. You know what I mean? We all share this experience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like you've said in the past and in other shows, it's been a part of most of us for a very long part of our lives. So, you know, I call me, you know, sappy. It's great to be back out there.
Yeah.
I don't really care, you know, and I don't want anybody to tell me how to fan. I'm going to go out and I'm going to go to games if I want. You don't have to go and spend your money if you don't want to. Do your thing. But
it's an escape, man. It's an absolute escape. It really is.
And you bring up the fact that, you know, there's still a lot of tickets available. And that's true. I actually, before the show went on, and saw quite a bit available for Thursday's game. And like you said, I'm sure a lot of that will sell between now and Thursday afternoon. But it's just kind of odd because you knew in years past, maybe not last year, but, you know, leading up to the last, you know, two opening days here, that was basically the one guaranteed sellout crowd. And it usually happened at least a week before opening day. And now here we are, we're looking at, you know, 40% of the tickets still being available with a week to go.
Honestly, I'm not terribly surprised. I'm kind of disappointed, but, you know, but like, yeah, I always thought opening day, hey, people are going to show up. It's going to be a packed house and then things are going to completely fall off. But I really, you know, from checking in with fans this whole off season and hearing from people and having conversations, there's a lot of anger. There are a lot of folks that are absolutely upset, disillusioned, just there's apathy. There's, you know, hey, I got too much stuff going on in my life, or they have burned me, you know, and I have to just take a beat and I got to step back with this team because I don't even know what direction they're going. After last season and the lackluster off season, the retention of Pedro Grifol, and of course the sale, or the Chris sale, might as well have been the Dylan Cease deal, and probably more to come. I think there's folks that are like, you know what? I'll watch, I'll check in, you know, I'll keep my eyes on them, but I'm not going to make it an appointment, a thing to be getting to the ballpark nearly as much as I have in the past. And there might be some folks that are just, you know what? I'll see what's going on in June or July, you know, and, you know, once the weather kicks in and, you know, those Fridays and Saturday nights are fun and it's summer in the city. This is what I'm sensing from Sox fans. And if they draw under, you know, 1.6 mil, which was their, you know, low mark in 2018, that was the lowest in like 20 years. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if it's 1.59 or something like that. There's just a lot of, it's beyond anger. I think there's just frustration, disappointment, whatever you want to call it, you know. It's still the soundtrack of so many people's lives, and it's their connection to so much in their throughout their family and friends, and it's Sox baseball, right? It's like no matter good or bad, but to what extent, right? You know, you'll still be a fan, but how dedicated are you going to be? This is going to test a lot of people this year.
It is indeed, and you know what really gets me about opening day right now. I thought it was a great marketing ploy. You know, it might not be a marketing ploy. It might be a serious move for the White Sox. But when it was announced that Garrett Crochet would be starting at the home opener opening day for the 2024 White Sox, I thought that would have an impact on what fans were going to come out and be able to say, hey, you know what? I was there. I was there for that. Because I remember when Michael Kopech, you know, rest in peace as a starter. Anywho, you know, when I remember his first start, you know, the Sox weren't exactly in a great place then, yet that stadium was packed that night. And, you know, unfortunately it ended after his start ended after two innings and a rain delay, But there were a lot of people there for that game.
You know what it was last year?
Crochet is going to be the first time that we have
a
projected left-handed starter.
Yeah.
That's going to stay in the rotation at least for a little while, barring injury or arm deadness. And he's homegrown.
Yeah. You know,
it's kind of wild to me that the more people are trying to come out there for that.
The Sox, well, look what happened last year, last off season. It seemed like they wanted to go in a completely different direction. You know, they brought in someone outside of the organization, and Grifol hooked me in early, you know, on the stuff that he was saying. Little did I know he had no way of backing that up. Didn't have a plan, didn't know how to effectively put it in place. And when things got off the rails, he just, you know, could not. Obviously the, you know, players did not show up for him either, but it was like, 2022 wasn't going to happen again. Like, we're almost embarrassed for 2022. We should have destroyed that division. That's not going to happen again. That was disappointing. We're going in a different direction. 2023, we're still in this AL Central. Nobody's making a real move. We got a lot of the core still around, right? Why not? You know, if we're banking on health and hope, and we're going to be the comeback kids. And look at what happened in Houston to start the year off. Like, that was
an exciting series. Yeah, everybody was excited about that.
That was an exciting series. So then the Sox come home, and you got Kopech on the hill. It's like, okay, I'm into this. I want to see this in person. I don't have those same vibes, that same energy, you know, from the off season. I'm excited that White Sox baseball is back. It's like a holiday. It's like a tradition to go to opening day, kick things off, see a lot of people I haven't seen in my life, you know, over the last 6 months. And then, like you had said, Happy New Year, you know, it's good to be back. And this is home in a way. So I think there's the big difference maker.
Yeah. It's, I don't know how you put it pretty good. You put it really well there that it is exciting to get back to the ballpark and see those folks. But at the same time, I think most of us are curbing our enthusiasm about the product on the field.
Sure.
You know, getting back to baseball, getting back to the park is not necessarily about getting back to some sort of sparkling winner of a team. It's just to get back out there.
I think it's going to be for social reasons. You know, it's
right.
Like,
it really
is. I'm getting together with people. This is where I meet my friends. This is where we hang out. This is the thing that we do that's common. And we've got certain foods. There's new items on the menu. There's new things to drink, consume. That campfire milkshake. Good Lord, if you've seen the pictures of this thing.
Yeah, I mean, if you're fortunate enough to be able to get into the stadium club.
Right. So, you know, look for the magnets. Danny's going to be out and about. I will be out and about. Hopefully, you know, we run into a bunch of other folks, you know, that are, you know, I guess ready for this season, but also like taking it with that grain of salt. You know, like, we understand that it's not necessarily wins and losses. It's not numbers. It's kind of the development of guys that are on the roster and beyond. So I'll be looking forward to, you know, having a cigar with you, my friend, and hopefully I can get one of those magnets as well. And I find you out in the parking lots on Thursday afternoon.
I'm sure I can arrange. Arrange for something for you, bud.
Excellent. So let me talk to you about where this team is in terms of roster, and maybe some of your thoughts as a fan over the last several days, seeing the cuts that were made. If there were any surprises, or you know, Mike Moustakas, Jesse Chavez, Kevin Pillar for like a day, and then for financial reasons, you know.
That's a whole thing. We could spend a lot of time on that.
Tukey Toussaint, DFA'd, cleared waivers. He's going to be starting in AAA Charlotte. We probably will see him sooner rather than later, because Sox are going to need arms, no question about it. Stassi making the team, but injured. So Corey Lee is going to be kicking things off as a backup backstop. Anything in that right there where, you know, eyebrows raised? Wow, you know, that's interesting. I didn't expect that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the Pilar thing, everybody and their brother has been talking about that for the last few days, right? You know, it's one of those things that a lot of teams do. They take these, hey, Trey Williams just drafted Aloy in his fantasy draft. Good for you, buddy. I think that's a good pick as long as he stays healthy.
Yeah.
But anywho, you know, that whole thing with the Pilar thing, it was a little weird. You know, cut him. Let them clear waivers, bring them back. We kind of thought he was going to be the fourth outfielder right from the get, you know, or at least be a platoon between him and Fletcher, you know, lefty versus righty thing, that whole situation. So he kind of knew that maybe he would come back, but it was still weird. What really gets me out of all this stuff is the Robbie Grossman thing. You know, they go out and they sign Robbie Grossman. It made more sense after they had made some cuts and some moves, but still, like, Robbie Grossman, you know, don't we have some outfielders in the organization that maybe deserve a shot? I don't really know.
I was joking around with Steve on the Good Guys Talk Back episode on Sunday night that the Robbie Grossman acquisition was simply as another layer so they didn't have to get to Oscar Colas any sooner. It's just like, let's just bring this guy in so, you know, we can have another buffer zone there for how little.
Yeah, it just makes you wonder about what the plan for Oscar Colas is. And is he so much of a, you know, like I said, there's rumors. We don't know exactly what's going on, but there were rumors that, you know, he wasn't exactly the best teammate. You know what I mean? Maybe he doesn't have the best work ethic, per se. You know what I mean? And you just wonder what their plan is for this guy. Are they trying to hide him in hopes of, you know, maybe he has a breakout in Charlotte and they can just kind of flip him somewhere? Or are they trying to straighten him out to possibly make this roster at some point? Because right now it feels like it feels like they want to keep him as far away from the south side as they possibly can. And that whole, you know, Pilar and Grossman thing makes me feel like you might be onto something there where they're trying to add that extra buffer.
Yeah. Pilar will be talked about and has been talked about. You know, Chuck brought it up this past weekend and he got caught. He got a lot of people talking on social media about some of his, you know, comments and his podcast stuff with TWTW and gamers and, you know, obviously there's more to some of the comments that he said, not just on the surface. And I mean, yeah, you know, maybe Pilar brings an edge. You know, I was pleased with what I saw, you know, in Arizona in person, and he was playing, he played a bunch in right field. I mean, look, like, it's depth. They just haven't had depth in such a long time. So now we're like questioning the depth. It's like, I think baby steps. It's like, first, like, let's have depth. Let's understand how to have actual outfield and right field depth. And then hopefully, you know, this isn't a continuing trend, but, you know, I Sox aren't very good with some of their trends, i.e. second base and other spots, but hopefully this ends out. And like, we've got a proven right fielder eventually. And how long have we been saying that? I know, but that, hey, we got depth now. Like, in the future, we'll be able to have depth, but not all these different bodies. They have a better plan in place, you know, going into the off season and spring training, but definitely different than in years past. So I can't complain too much about that. Sure, Pilar's not a name that was jumping off the pages when he was signed or anybody else really that they brought in, but, you know, it's different than before.
Depth is a wonderful thing to have, right? Especially with this team that's been riddled with injuries since, you know, Herm Schneider is left, and we won't beat that horse. But, you know, I think the questioning that White Sox fans are kind of throwing around right now towards the organization is the quality of that depth.
Sure.
And, you know, can we really, what we want to have is a proven quality right fielder. You know, we talk about that hole that's been gaping for so long. And don't get me wrong, they've got some guys out there that can throw the leather around, right? But this team has been lacking offensively in quite some time. And if you look at the, you know, you look at it on paper right now, you're wondering where those runs are going to be scored outside of the top, you know, four in the order. And when we get into those lefty righty matchups where, you know, things don't necessarily play out real well for the White Sox roster construction, when you do face that pitcher that you're not necessarily feeling real good about, you kind of start to feel like, yeah, we're even in the tank a little bit further offensively. So, you know, I understand why people question. And again, not to beat a dead horse, but they brought in a bunch of defensive players to kind of help this pitching staff. And the one thing that I'll say about depth is the pitching staff feels like it's got more depth throughout the organization right now. Some moves made at the deadline last year, some moves made just recently. Dylan Cease, you know, brought in three pitchers that all seem like they could be serviceable very near future. Two pitchers. Well, essentially three, because Stephen Wilson, I think he's going to be used probably in the bullpen right off the bat.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then you got Drew Thorpe and Iriarte in there as well, who are both, you know, pretty good prospects, you know, that I was not exactly high on right off the bat. But the more digging I do, the better I feel about that. Elijah did a great show last night, and they kind of broke that whole situation down. And, you know, the more I hear our guys talk about it, the better I feel about it. But depth is definitely something that the White Sox are finding themselves to have that we haven't in a long time.
Two guys like Nestrini and Leisure that came over
fantastic
at the deadline last year that are going to make an impact. You know, Leisure has made the ball club. Nestrini, I mean, he should be announced in the rotation. I mean, that's where we're at right now with him, which is he did well for himself in spring. So did Leisure. And that's where, again, it's like, well, when you've got negative spring numbers, people are like, well, don't pay attention too much because it's the spring. But when you have positive spring numbers, it's like, look at what they did in the spring.
Wow. Holy cow.
Look at that. I mean, that just happened with Michael Kopech. It's like,
yeah, he sucks. Spring training numbers don't matter. He's awesome. Look at this.
It's how we are. You know, it's like I'll ignore all the negative stuff from time to time, and just when something positive hits, it's like really build that up. But that's exciting to me. I'm looking forward to seeing what Leisure can do, and Nestrini, and so. I think culture is just this big word that's also been thrown around and changing the identity.
I was waiting for that when you brought up Chuck, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, that was another thing with Chuck's, I think, that everybody just kind of body slammed him. And you got to understand where Chuck's coming from, you know? I mean, he's just trying to sell this. He's trying to sell this team and sell it for NBC Sports Chicago, for the White Sox, for Jerry, for advertisers, for this, that, and the other. And he'll put a positive spin on, because like that's what he's gonna do. He's got a very, very tough job. I mean, he's a Sox fan, but he's also got to be kind of like objective and not just, you know, let all of his feelings. I mean, he had some moments last season, but he's got to be really, really careful. So, of course, I expected him to defend things like Pilar and these other guys, because what else is he going to say? I mean, he's a lobbyist. He's a White Sox lobbyist, you know? So, like, I'd be more surprised if he said something negative. Like, I don't know why we brought these warm bodies in. Like, how come we didn't go after some actual, you know, top-of-the-line talent? The culture thing is difficult, though, of course. It's obvious to say, you know, it's something you can't really define. You don't really know it. It's difficult to seek it out and bring it together. But from what we're understanding, and there's been a lot of stories out there, things were good last year in the clubhouse. There was bad chemistry. The team didn't have a solid identity. We've heard Pedro's quotes about leadership.
We've heard a lot of Pedro's quotes about a lot of things. I mean, it's like mental gymnastics listening to guy talk sometimes. You know, so, I mean, word salad, buddy.
I agree that like chemistry and culture and all that stuff, like I think it can help. I mean, if you like the people that you're playing with, I know it's a job, it's a business, but there is something when you're clicking, right? And like people are kind of, almost playing for each other, and they don't want to let each other down. Like you almost forget, like this is in a bigger world, right? You're just like playing these games and these little competitions with each other, and you're with each other for so long out of the year. I think it's just better vibes, of course, if you like each other and you get along and people are all pulling from the same end of the rope. Now you also, of course, have to have some studs. You got to have premium talent. You got to have good players. You've got to have, you know, solid organization, you know, coaching staff, manager, all that kind of stuff also has to be there. So, I mean, I don't know how much a brand new identity and culture can affect a team like this that doesn't have too many horses, but we're going to find out, Danny.
Yeah. And, you know, our very own Ian Eskridge pointed out months ago that, you know, if you look back at the A's of the 70s and the 77 Yankees, so those teams were pretty well documented as having bad clubhouses, right? And guys that getting into fist fights and stuff in the clubhouse and in the dugouts and just having at each other's throats and absolutely hating each other. But they were able to put together not only just winning seasons, but World Series titles in some cases. And, you know, you brought it up. The thing about that is, you know, even if the culture is bad, you have to have talent. And unfortunately, yeah, sure, the injury bug has riddled this White Sox team, you know, for the last few seasons. But the talent just hasn't shown up, you know. Now, is that because there was this just level of discomfort showing up to the ballpark every day? I mean, I might as well just come out and say it now. I brought it up in last week's show, I believe it was, or maybe the week before, about, you know, some of the things that we have been hearing about, you know, Yasmani Grandal being a difficult player. And I didn't want to be the first one to throw it out there, but, you know, some of us were privy to a conversation that was had. And someone within the, let's just say a source well in the know in the White Sox organization came out and basically said, now, let me just rewind that a little bit. The reason I say I didn't want to be the first one is, you know, if you haven't seen the 108 show from the other day, White Sox Dave did finally spill the beans on this whole thing. So I'm not the first one to brag it. I could have been. Yeah. I got that, you know, I promised to keep my lips sealed on that, and I did. I did. I was proud of myself on that. I want to pat myself on the back because it was difficult not to throw this out there. But it was said by someone that had they come home to find Yasmani Grandal banging their wife, it would not be the most offensive thing he'd ever done to them. That's pretty brutal, man.
That's one hell of a quote. Yeah.
You know, so it's, you know, when you have that kind of an atmosphere. And
there was some stuff between him and TA, right? Like leading up to the All-Star break or something. And
apparently they got into it pretty, you know, they had to be separated. Yeah. You know, in the clubhouse at least once. And, you know, it was made pretty public about, you know, what TA telling him, like, or I'm sorry, Grandal telling him, like, you know, if you're not going to show up, don't even bother getting on the plane or whatever it was, you know. Yeah, there's a lot of difficult situations there. But is that enough to really hang 61 wins on?
And that's a great question. And that's what I think, you know, it's so difficult to quantify. I think that's why some people scoff at the whole culture chemistry, because we all know you're not going to get along with everybody. You know, you're just not. Like, there are too many people from different backgrounds, from different ways of thinking, from just, you know, it's just not. So you have to kind of put a lot of things aside and, like, what's the end goal here? You know, and everybody has to buy into these, you know, different pillars or philosophies, whatever it's laid out by the organization and manager, of, you know, trying to block out all the noise. So, I mean, you wonder sometimes if guys just, you know, mailed it in. They're like, I'm not going 100%. You know, I could see what's going on with this season, and I'm not really here. I've got stuff going on personally. I'm just not feeling it in this. Yeah. And it just showed up. We saw it on the field. I don't know. Something there were a lot of issues. And of course, sometimes just people don't play well or live up to the hype that was created around them. You know,
that's my thing. Like, yeah. If you're not going to perform regardless of the attitude, like, you're not going to win. Plain and simple. You can talk about this one was banged up or that one was banged up. Great. You know, you're not banged up so much that you can't make it into the lineup on a near nightly basis. Go out there and play the game.
Yeah.
And if there's a lot of excuses, perform,
I think, you know,
if you're not going to be able to perform because you're banged up, then you need to tell somebody, hey, I can't do my job right now. Maybe I need some time to rehab. Maybe that's management's problem. I don't really know. But the simple fact of the matter is winning ball clubs know when to pull the plug on some of these guys. Hey, you're hurt and you're not performing. Let's get you some rest. You know what I mean? Well, that's not a winning ball club move to put a guy out there who's struggling beyond, you know, what his career norms are by a lot. And we're just going to keep throwing him out there and hopefully he works his way through it. Yet, you know, we got Yoan Moncada out there with a back that's, you know, cramping up on him every other inning. And, you know, it was talked about that Vaughn is playing through pain all season long. Like, you know, we have 13 guys on the 26-man roster that can play first base. Why is Andrew Vaughn going out there if he's beat up every day?
Right. Yeah. This is not the year to be a hero either. However, Moncada's got the contract year. I get the impression that Eloy Jimenez could be somebody that we've seen what he can do when he is healthy and he's like just in a groove, man. I mean, he's got ridiculous strength, ridiculous power, effortless almost when it happens. Saw it in spring and in flashes. He came down to earth eventually, but of course, like, you're not going to live where he was for the entirety of spring. Just to see that in a small sample size, a healthy Eloy was outstanding. We know his goal of wanting to play 150, plus, but you got to wonder, like, if there's guys, and I don't know if it's Eloy, but if it's other guys that are saying, hey, I need to put together a hell of a first half up until the All-Star break, July 16th, maybe something like that. Cause I want out. Like, I want to be on a contender, you know, like, I am going to just showcase myself. I've got an opportunity to do everything I possibly can. And I think the organization and Chris Getz are like, great. We need that. We need to cash in on guys. That's why I think this club, no matter what you think of this team, you know, they're going to look very different after 100 games or so. I think there could be some, you know, there's going to be some sell-offs, depending on how everybody plays and all that other stuff.
There's going to have to be sell-offs. There's two sides of the White Sox fan base on this right now. There's a lot of folks that are like, oh my God, we got to keep, if Eloy breaks out finally and he stays healthy, we absolutely have to keep him. And if Yoan Moncada has a monster contract season, do we keep him? You know, and trust me, I get it. You know, a lot of us bought into the Rickon, Kenny Williams rebuild that failed. And we've been waiting for these guys to have their seasons, right? You know, there's even the small contingent that's like, yeah, well, you know, is Luis Robert going to get traded away? Please don't trade him away. And that would take a king's ransom, obviously, to be able to, you know, get anything and give him to anybody. But, you know, there's the other side of that fan base. It's like, hey, let's get the most value we can out of any one of these guys, because, you know, if we don't, we're going to be in the doldrums again for a long time. They've got to rebuild this. And again, going back to what you were talking about with depth and some young guys that are looking like they're close to major league ready, if not going to be on this roster, you know, early on at the season. It's starting to look like maybe there's a chance they can be competitive again sooner rather than later. So you kind of have to go out and get the value out of these guys. So we're all hoping that, one, they're going to get that value in return come to trade deadline and go somewhere where they can be a contributor to a winning ball club. And two, we get to see some exciting baseball until that time comes, which as a White Sox fan,
of course,
who's gone through the last couple of seasons. So, you know, basically since the beginning of the Tony La Russa era, where we're just hoping to see some decent baseball and be entertained. So
I think, you know, and we may talk a little bit more of this in a little bit with our, you know, predictions, personal predictions and stuff for this team. But, and I've said it before recently, I think you're going to see more individual stuff. You're going to be tracking more individual players than maybe the act, you know, the team, what the team can put together in terms of win losses and such. I think you may be following guys as they might individually put up some solid years, but I don't think it's going to be enough, you know, to make this team competitive, even in the AL Central. So before we get into, you know, predictions,
the schedule isn't doing them any favors either.
No,
early on.
No, it's not. This was our GM, Chris Getz, just a couple days ago here as camp was breaking up. I feel like we've raised the IQ of our club, which was something we wanted to accomplish out here. I think we're going to reap the rewards as the season goes on. So that is a quote that I will hold on to, and I will save, and I will use throughout the season. And I hope I'm on the positive side of it. I hope I see a competent baseball. You and I have both talked about wanting to see competent baseball this season, you know, different brand of baseball. You know, hey, they might take more losses, of course. And I hope it's because they just got beat. Not that they beat themselves, if that makes sense. Like, they just didn't have the talent against some of these teams they're playing. But they play fundamentally sound baseball. If I see the other side of it, that's going to be really disappointing to me, Danny, because that was such a focus this offseason of, you know, playing a better style of baseball, smart style of baseball, a competent style of baseball.
Yeah, well, when it comes to Pedro quotes, that's one of the few that actually do make some sense. I do believe they probably do have a higher baseball IQ. They've brought in some guys that have had some, let's just say, some experience with some other organizations who, you know, tend to do things a little bit better than the White Sox have.
Sure.
In the last few seasons.
Shocking.
They brought in the staff to make sure that these guys, and you're right, that was Chris Getz. I'm sorry. Yeah, I mean, it does make some sense. What that really means, though, I don't know. Again, we have to go off the level of player that's in the organization. Is that going to translate to, you know, 15 more wins? I don't know.
Right.
It might translate into a handful of more wins. And then, like you said, the individual accolades of certain players, they might turn into something. I hope that it's just it's the continuation of the culture that comes from that, you know, for the younger guys who are going to, you know, maybe be around for a few seasons beyond 2024.
And that's
the guys
what we
that are making
about
their way up from the minors is, you know, yeah. This is an establishment of a new era in
back
the White Sox organization.
2017, 2018, that was the vibe of there's a lot of these guys that are playing together in the minors, you know, and they're kind of building this chemistry and this camaraderie, and just, we get to now move to 35th and Shields to the big league club, and we can build what we've created. And all of a sudden you saw guys dropping off, injuries, you know, cast off, and it just, you know, didn't go the way, of course, that we wanted. So here, let's get into some, you know, predictions.
Just address that there was a question in the chat, and I don't want to make clutches here every week. I want to make sure we, you don't feel like you're being ignored here. We're not ignoring you, but we are definitely going to get into our predictions here. So just hang tight, buddy. I'll give you my all-star pick in a few minutes.
I'll save wins losses for the end. You know,
absolutely.
I think that is, you know, I'm not too hung up on it, but we could throw out a number and we could try to make sense of a number. But I'll go with, so you and I had talked about some categories, you know, and Pat and I have done this over the years with Good Guys Talk Back. I know you and Ian have done it, you know, before. I know a lot of people do this, trying to go through and hit certain numbers. And, you know, I don't want to get too in the weeds because it's like, you know, we could just be rattling off every major offensive or defensive category and trying to pick guys and what their stat line is going to be like. But I wanted to talk bold position player predictions. So if you've got one kind of in the chamber here, something that I don't know, like either it's, it could be something you've gone with over the last several years and have told other Sox fans, like, this is the year, this is the year. And you think maybe I'm going to just double down once again. Or it could be just something completely out of left field.
It's going to be different this year. And, you know, I'm looking at the chat and there's a lot of Andrew Vaughn chat going on right now. There's a lot of talk about Andrew Vaughn in there. And Nick, you actually posted something on the old X this afternoon. Yeah. And that's my bold prediction. I believe, you know, I see the old Andrew Vaughn's going to be averager than ever this year. He's going to be amazingly average. He's going to have an amazingly average season, as Nick said a few months back.
I did, yeah.
You know, a lot of folks look at his spring and they say, you know what? He started off slow, found his groove, looked better. And I hate to do this on the day today because, you know, him and his wife went and did the thing over at the La Rabita, you know, and, they did some great charity.
They're good people. Yeah.
They are really good people. I don't want to, you know, poop on the guy too much. I said it before, he did play through some pain last year. He was a grinder. He grounded out and made his way through. I just don't know if I'm convinced he's the first baseman of the future. Mm. I'm sorry, Andrew. I hope he hears this. Wow. I hope he hears all this stuff and it ignites a fire under him and he turns out to be that best college hitter. But my prediction is that Tim Okah will be starting probably before the deadline. Man. Or right around the deadline. Tim Okah is going to be your starting first baseman.
Yeah, you know, Scott Merkin had that mailbag email or whatever he puts out, and I had to just kind of crop that point that he made on Andrew Vaughn being an all-star. And I know every team has got to have an all-star, but I think that's going to be Luis Robert Jr. That's not a hot take or anything. That's just common sense. So if Andrew Vaughn can still put up numbers that makes him worthy of being an all-star, even though, you know, you might have thoughts on how the all-star team is picked and everything, we all do. It's not a perfect system, that's for sure. That would be impressive. That was a crazy prediction by Merck in my mind. And I'm someone that has been really high on Andrew Vaughn over the years. You know, if you followed me with Locked On Sox, man, I was all about Andrew Vaughn last season going into the season. This was going to be the year Andrew Vaughn. He's got his position. He seems healthy. He doesn't have the shadow of Abreu hanging over him. And, you know, from where he was, from where he was drafted and the accolades and everything. And I expected more, right? We all expected more. And I'm not even going to touch Andrew Vaughn's not part of my bold position player predictions or anything. I'm glad you tackled that. I will watch Andrew Vaughn and I will.
I hate myself for it, honestly. I really do. I you know, because I want so badly for the guy to be that fourth round pick that we the number four overall pick that we spent on and the best Golden MLB spikes, ready bat coming out of his draft class. And
it just hasn't
materialized yet.
I'm rooting for Andrew Vaughn. I
am too, but
I think Tim Elko is going to be waiting. But I respect that opinion. I've cooled off on the Andrew
Vaughn.
Screw you,
Danny. I disagree, but I'm going to be nice about it.
I still want one of those cigars and magnets. But anyway, I'm going to go with Yoan Moncada. And I think Yoan Moncada is really going to have a solid year. I think he's going to stay healthy. I think he's got a lot to prove personally. And I'm going to say that Yoan Moncada is a Gold Glove finalist. I think he's going to be in that conversation. And I wouldn't be surprised if he wins a Gold Glove. How's that? Because I have really respected his fielding. I know it seems like he takes and plays off here and there or has some mental lapses, but I think he is more than solid at third base.
Yeah, no disagreement here. I mean, you know, with the leather, he's a wizard. A lot of fun to watch when he's fully healthy. But again, there's that word. We just need him to stay fully healthy.
Yeah,
and I think if he stays fully healthy, the bat can come around as well too.
I think he could be an all-star. Honestly,
I do too.
And I think he's going to be right up there in the Gold Glove conversation. Do you have another a bold position player prediction? I've got kind of one more. Do you have another one by any chance?
I have one.
Okay.
It's maybe not that bold.
Yeah.
But I think Luis Robert, you know, despite his slow start in spring training, is in the MVP conversation at the end of the year.
Yeah, you know what? I had that. I had that in a individual accomplishments category.
I'm sorry. Okay.
No, that's quite all right. But you know, we can ebb and flow here. I thought he'd be in the top five, if not top three, in terms of AL MVP.
Yeah, it's pretty much my thinking. You know, I would love to see him be the best outfielder in baseball, if that's possible. Like some people think he's capable of, but. Oh,
yeah. Ian with his hot take. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gold glove will be awarded to Moncada on another team. How about that?
It's very well possible. I mean, you know, we did kind of touch on getting the most value out of these guys right now so that,
yeah,
instead of being a full on, you know, 4 or 5 year rebuild, we can get back to competitive baseball here sooner rather than later. So it's a possibility.
Sure.
Do you get more value out of him trading him at the deadline after he's only had, you know, one decent season? And if he has a really hot first half,
people get desperate, man. People get crazy at the deadline.
This is true.
There are teams that might find themselves in a situation that they never thought. And why not? You know,
Ian's on fire in the chat right now, by the way.
So you got you're bullish on Luis Robert Jr. Of course, I think he's going to follow up 150 games, all-star, top five in the AL MVP, maybe top three. But I also, in terms of Eloy Jimenez, I had kind of a prediction. I don't know if it's bold or not. Maybe it is because it has to, you know, you have to do this if you're healthy. Like health and this like go hand in hand. If you're not healthy, you're not going to achieve it. So just by throwing out the number, this is going to mean Eloy Jimenez, in my mind, is going to be healthy for the first half. I've got 20 home runs for Eloy Jimenez at the All-Star break.
I think that's fantastic. I have nothing to add to that. I really don't.
No notes?
Bring it on, man. Like, no, I'm here for it, dude. Totally.
And then trade it at the deadline.
You know, I mean, this is going to be the conversation.
See them resigning this guy. I just don't see them saying like, this is going to be our DH of the future. That I wouldn't mind that. I really wouldn't mind that. Call me crazy.
I would love to see him.
You know,
thanks, Cubs.
You know, if he has a crazy year, he leans into the DH thing. He can stay healthy, you know, and the numbers show it. And you're like, you know what? You're our guy. You know, we want you around through this into the next phase as our DH. We'll see, man. A lot has to go right for that. How about pitcher predictions?
We do have a question in the chat right now that says, "Who leads the team in saves?" And I'm curious, do you happen to have that quote by any chance about the closer? Are you able to bring that up? Or
let me see if I can pull
it up if you want. At least read it off.
If you've got it, I know that.
It's going to be a tough prediction. I got it here somewhere. Hang on, give me a second.
It surrounded Dennis Eckersley.
It did indeed. Here we go. So Pedro yesterday, this is pulled from a Scott Merkin article. On his closers, he says, "I wouldn't have anyone unless you bring back Dennis Eckersley or somebody like that. We're attacking leverage. Somebody takes it on, somebody takes it on. But even then, how can I justify to myself or sleep at night if we have a leverage situation in the eighth with 2, 3, and 4 hitters coming up and I don't use our best guy or the best leverage guy available that day?" So what, you know, again, another one of those Pedroisms where it's like, you know, mental gymnastics, word salad, bring it on. You know, you got to kind of
sit through. Well, you say that when you don't have a true closer. You know, he's not saying that, you know, if Liam Hendricks is sitting there foaming at the mouth, listening to that quote, like looking at him like, are you nuts? Are you goofy? Right. So you say it because it could be that's how they're going to have to deal with it. It's going to be cobbled together. It's a classic one by Pedro Grifol. I'm glad you were able to pull that one up. I've heard Kopech's name tossed around as a closer potentially. I just don't think he's got it mentally to be able to figure that out. I hope he proves me wrong.
I think, though, that the probably, you know, if you're reading between the lines, it sounds to me like they're probably going to put him in that situation as much as they possibly can, just because, again, of the simple fact that we're talking about deadline deals and getting the most value out of guys. And if Michael Kopech can, you know, succeed in that role for just a few months, you know, maybe they can flip him and get some return for him. And Ian even says something similar, you know, but he'll be traded at the deadline.
Yeah.
He's still leading saves because, so, you know, Jordan Leisure will probably be the guy to pick up the slack, you know, barring.
I like Jordan Leisure as an answer. Like, why not? He doesn't know any better. I mean,
no. And I mean, the whole world seems to be predicting that he's going to be a closer in his career. Yeah. You know, some say pretty much right off the bat as a rookie, he can come out and be an MLB closer. And he's definitely got the makeup and the stuff to do it. You know, and why not throw him to the flames right now? His development stage, development doesn't stop at the MLB level, as we've heard so many times, right? So,
one of my crazy, you know, pitcher bold predictions, though, for Kopech was that he was going to find himself back in the rotation.
Yeah. You know what? I have asked this question as well. So Ian and James were on the podcast Sunday night with Mike Rankin, the former head of the show and the website that you're at right now, Future Sox. They brought him out of retirement, as Ian said on the show. But I asked that question to the guys on that show that night, and all three of them, consensus, kind of said, I think his days as a starter are done. Hmm. And, you know, a lot of people seem to be in agreement that you and I have kind of expressed our doubts about this, because if you can't throw strikes as a starter, what makes you think you can throw strikes out of the bullpen? And a lot of people seem to think that, well, he's not going to have to hold back in the bullpen because he's not going to have to throw 180 innings throughout the season. You know, maybe he gets 80 innings, 100 innings.
Yeah, right? Maybe he just pumps fastballs. And he's like, I can throw it 100 miles an hour now because, you know, I could just go full blast. I think there's just going to be a need. You know, I think they're going to need some starters. The guys just might not, you know, have it based on their track record, based on what they're, you know, coming into this rotation with and the lack of experience. And Kopech, you know, might have find the strike zone. He might be doing pretty well. Arm looks good. You know, Kopech wants it. I mean, this was from quote Kopech just a couple days ago. And this is Kopech talking about, you know, being in that reliever role. The idea is the same, to go out there, get guys out and do your best every time, but it's a different preparation. So I kind of prepared my body for one thing this season and now making that adjustment on the fly this spring and kind of preparing it for something else is something I'm taking in stride. To me, that sounds like a guy that, like, I don't know, man. They really
doesn't sound real confident, right?
No, they threw a curveball at me here. And I agree 100% with what he's saying. Anybody that's followed pitching, that's done pitching at any level knows that. We just touched on it in terms of, you know, a marathon sprint, you know, how you prepare your body, your arm, all that stuff. He went in thinking, you know, starter, starter, starter. That's how I have to be looking at it. Just to say, oh, we're just going to take him and move him to the bullpen, it's not that easy. You know, I know a lot of people say, well, you know, you can throw strikes as a starter, or you can just flip-flop. You can't necessarily do it, and that quote right there is a perfect example. So I think how quickly he transitions, how quickly he makes those preparations, if he can do it on the fly, if he feels comfortable, that will determine his success.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that quote kind of goes back to what a lot of us have thought, in the simple fact that, you know, obviously he's talking about a specific situation, is going from a starter to a closer, but it alludes to the fact that his confidence just doesn't seem to be there. And I kind of had that feeling about him since he's returned from, you know, multiple injuries here over the course of the last few years. And it just doesn't seem like he trusts the body.
Yeah.
And that could play a huge role in his performance. You know,
I mean, you come have a
Tommy
out,
John
Danny,
surgery. He doesn't Danny, have a wipeout curveball. You know what
you
I mean?
You come out and you say something like, just give me the ball. I'll be ready. You know, I just want to do absolutely whatever I possibly can. Like, him talking more than necessary, like, I appreciated getting that insight from him, but it's almost like he's telling everybody without saying it, like, I don't know what they did here, but I'm kind of screwed up a little bit and I got to get myself right.
Yeah. Well, and you know, the simple fact is I remember probably going back to like maybe December. Ian and I had some discussions while we were still doing the White Sox Daily thing. And even since coming back, I think it was the three of us, you know, in our first early episodes here on Future Sox, talking about how we wished the White Sox would be more candid with some of their situations. And now they are being more candid. We're all going, oh, Jesus, you know, we're crushing that kind
be
of
careful
stuff
what
too.
You wish for. Yeah,
it really is. It's a double-sided blade. And, you know, when you get those things, you're going, oh, my goodness, what's going on here? Yeah. So I can appreciate him and his candor.
Yeah,
but
sure.
At the same time, it doesn't leave me with a great feeling. About
Man, I hope he's successful, though. I absolutely. I'm rooting absolutely. For the guy. I mean, he's been through so much, and I'm pulling for him just because of, like, he's the one, along with Mankata, that kicked this whole thing off in the fall of 2016. And I want to see it. And if that is his worth, if that is his value, is being, you know, middle relief, a closer, whatever, and he's successful at it, and he learns to love it and embrace it, wonderful. And then we get a bunch of stuff in return for him. So,
yeah, fantastic.
all right. So I had also as a bold pitcher prediction, I got Fetty as the team Cy Young.
Okay.
All coming right. off you of want to the elaborate KBO on that stuff, a little bit? He's got a chip, I think. You know, it didn't go well for him the first time around in MLB. Goes over to KBO, does really well, developed a different pitch, had some success with it. I think he's going to come in. You know, he got the money, and I think he wants to prove a lot of people wrong and prove the White Sox right. And I think he's going to be your team Cy Young.
Yeah, well, you know, coming from the KBO, I think not only does the success there, a lot of people say, yeah, well, the KBO was not the MLB. And it's not. You're absolutely right. But it's an offense-first baseball organization over there. Pitching is not necessarily a huge forte. And for him to go out and do what he did against a bunch of guys who think about nothing but padding their offensive stats, pretty fantastic stuff. So, yeah, I can totally see Fetty coming over here, bringing what he's learned in the pitch that he's added to his arsenal, you know, since leaving the MLB and coming back. There's a very good chance that he is a really solid, solid pitcher for this White Sox team. Now, on that note, if we're going to talk about Team Cy Youngs, I'm with you on that because I'm on the fence between, you know, him. Crochet, which we talked about, just depends on how long the arm holds up, because I really think that Crochet, if he gets himself stretched out, is one of those guys that can be a beast for years to come. And you know, God, I love the high leg kick. I mean, there's just something about it that it just
the
says
tight
something.
Rolled pants and the high leg kick.
Oh, I mean, he just looks like he's gonna attack hitters. Yep. Like, you know, he looks like he's gonna come off the mound and punch somebody in the head, and I love it, the aggressiveness of that his motion, his mechanics. But, you know, the other thing is a Soroka.
Yeah.
I think talking, a lot of people are selling. Things.
Yeah.
I think they're selling this starting staff a little short.
And they're selling them Michael short Soroka's, because there's no depth to the resume, so to speak. You know,
no, and I'll get that. But that's Soroka that had a huge, I mean, well, not huge, but he had a really good second half of the a AAA season last year. He looked quite well. And now here we are, we're even months beyond, further beyond his injury, his Achilles injury. And, you know, we all know, I mean, Achilles is difficult.
Mm-hmm.
You can't walk, let alone try to pitch and land.
Well, look
on
at
that
Berger.
Push
Did he have two
that.
Ruptured Achilles? I mean,
yeah. You know. And then he goes out and he has the season that he had last year, and it only continued to get better once he was traded away. So, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm with these guys in the chat, and I'm with you. I think Fetty's probably got the best opportunity to be that guy. But man, the top three in this rotation could be really solid.
Yeah. You know, I was going to make some predictions on Crochet. I mean, I don't at all think he's going to get the innings that I think Jim Bowden put out there on in the Athletic,
like
159 or something.
Yeah,
I mean, good Lord,
it was like close to 180 strikeouts. Like,
yeah, he's not going to get anywhere near there. He's going to be on an innings limit. I mean, I could mess around with ERA. I just feel like he's going to have a good year. And good is so, you know, what do you mean by good? If he hovers around a four, I think that would be a successful, you know, campaign here. You know, depending on a lot of other things, I know we're just not going to go with ERA, but, you know, a lot of the metrics might fall in line as well. Again, I just want him to be healthy. I mean, I think that's the theme we're saying on all of this. Show me what you can do when you're healthy, you know, whatever the organization, whatever plan they have. Obviously, they had a plan for him this offseason, and he took the plan and he excelled. And he just, you know, he leaned into it. And I love that about him. You know, he went out there and he won a rotation spot.
And as, you know, as we have been going on throughout tonight and most of the offseason, we continually talk about these guys being flipped at the deadline. And the great thing about seeing some success out of Crochet is he's not one of those guys that are going to be flipped, or at least not that we think, because we obviously know that Jerry doesn't like to spend, you know, large dollar amounts and extended contracts on pitchers. So when you've got a young guy who's got years of control, this is the guy we're kind of hoping to see succeed, because he's going to be a part of the organization for when they are competitive.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I think that might take us into wins. Unless you've got any other, you know, any other big position player or pitcher bold predictions, I think wins is probably the last here on my shot sheet.
No, the only other pitcher prediction I want to make is, I think, you know, everybody has kind of been on this guy, off this guy, on this guy, off this guy again. I think Brian Shaw is going to have a phenomenal season. I really do.
Arm. Yeah,
I really do.
They're going to need him too.
Yeah,
they're absolutely going to need him to. All right. I'll let you do the honors here. Pacoda, all these other publications, I guess, prognosticators, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, low 60s. I've seen 65, 66, maybe. Ozzy said 62 on the NBC Sports Chicago.
One better than last year.
And Chuck said 70. It sounded like he was also making an argument for 80 if a lot of things go right, but he settled on 70. Again, you know, so it's difficult to really define if this was a quality season or not by wins in my mind. But what do you got, Danny, for wins for our 2024 Chicago White Sox?
Yeah. So I love Chuck's optimism. Like you said, earlier on in the show, he's trying to sell this thing. And he even clapped back at some of these people on Twitter. Like, you don't get it. You know, I know the
Pinoles he did do that
conversation. Yeah. You know, he says he's not, you know, towing the company line, but I think he is a little bit. You know, he can't really come out and say it. You know, he's calling people out about, well, why don't somebody do a podcast about how bad the culture was, as if we all haven't done that already. Right. Because, you know, there's, I'm sure, I'm sensing some sarcasm there. The reality is, you know, who knows? Maybe it was bad players, bad culture, bad management, bad you know, upper management infighting between Rickon and Kenny Williams. We could discuss that all day long, but the fact that he's remaining bullish on this team, I give him credit for that. Of course, he's trying to spin it and sell it. But I do see a world where he could possibly be closer to right than some of these other guys that are saying 62, 64, 65. Reason being is, you know, when these trades happen, I think that's what's really, in my mind, going to keep that win total down. Because we're going to have some holes to fill, you know, when some of these players do go somewhere else at the deadline. But part of my thinking on maybe going over 70 wins, and I'll just go ahead and say I'm going to predict around 74, actually.
74 wins.
Yes, wins. Damn. Go ahead and mark it down. I know it sounds crazy, and you know what? I've been wrong before.
74.
I usually am bullish this time of year because maybe it's just wishful thinking.
74 could win the division, Danny.
doubtful, but yeah, great. the reason I say that is because, you know, again, you brought up that depth, and we do have some promising young guys that are waiting in the wings, you know, and maybe they're not going to be their best selves coming up, you know, after the deadline. But, you know, you talked about Yoan Moncada, and if he comes out and he has his breakout season in a contract year, and, you know, like you said, some of these teams get a little desperate and they get a little wily when they're trying to wheel and deal for that guy that's going to put them over the edge. If Yoan Moncada is one of those guys, we do have a young guy named Brian Ramos who's waiting in the wings. You know, whether or not they decide to bring him up after that happens is a whole nother story. We might get a Zach Remillard or something else, maybe even Popeye Rodriguez if he isn't already up at that point. Did he make the roster, by the way? I don't believe he did.
No.
I don't think so. Anywho, you know, so, yeah, I think just, you know, and that's just one example. But there are a handful of pitchers that I think can help this team after guys leave. I do believe there are a handful of position players that can help this guy, that can help this team. So I don't think the holes are going to be as gaping as they have been in the past when we start trading away some talent. And I think that can probably earn them the extra 5, 6, 7 wins that I'm throwing out there. So I'm going to go between 72 and 74.
Danny Chuck Garfine Miller. You old scoundrel. 74 wins for you.
And with that one, I feel uneasy about that prediction. So there it is.
After you made your prediction, you're going
to
fire up.
Yeah, forcing myself to repeaters now.
Yeah, that's a whole nother thing. Okay, I hear you. I've heard you. I took all of that in, put it in a blender, drank it down. It does not change. It's not changed anything. That I was kind of thinking about. I'm at like 66, between 66 and 68, I think you might see with this ball club, because I do think there's going to be changes at the deadline. I think they do have depth, but as we mentioned at the top, like the quality of depth and some of the inexperience, especially from our pitchers, it's going to be, you know, this is going to be a learning year. For a lot of guys, it's going to be a development year for a lot of guys. I'm looking beyond, and again, like wins. Yeah. Even 74, it's like, that's still ridiculously pathetic, you know, but that's crazy compared to last year and the little that they did this off season. So good on you, Danny, you're the ever optimist, and we'll be checking in on that.
I'm really trying. I'll be honest with you. I don't know how much I believe that.
It hasn't even been 5 minutes and you're walking back 74.
Pardon me. It's just, I'm really trying to be optimistic.
Hey, if anybody's listening here and that sees Danny out in the parking lots on Thursday, instead of yelling future Sox or anything at him, just yell 74 at him. Just yell 74. And he'll give you.
Oh, they're going to think they're going to. Well, see, that's the thing. They're going to start thinking they're calling out a certain player on the team. Hey, 74.
I don't think you're going to get confused with 74.
But no, I don't think so either. He's a little bit bigger than I am.
So I'm thinking, you know, 66 to 68, something like around there. Again, this is arbitrary. You know, there's more stuff going on with this team. But you know, if the team is supposed to change and the baseball IQ changes and the chemistry changes and there is health and guys are playing for their lives well, shouldn't that amount to something? Shouldn't that amount? And maybe that's what factored into your 74. You know, things should change. That should result into some wins. I just don't know how many at this point. So
buying into the culture, Nick.
Yeah,
buying into the culture.
I love it. Folks, this has been a pleasure, man. We're just days away. Opening day on Thursday. Thank you so much for joining us once again in the chats. Find the audio absolutely everywhere you find your podcast. Subscribe to the Future Sox YouTube channel. We appreciate that. If you pass it along to other Sox fans, futuresox.net. So many great things going on, especially this year. With what's going on in the pipeline, you know, these young guys, Danny and I are going to be here all year long with what's happening at 35th and Shields. And, you know, some of these shows on Tuesday night as we go live at 9 o'clock, you know, we'll be catching probably the end of those games. So stick around. You know, we'll be doing some post, I guess, on what happens with the Pale Hose.
Yeah. You know what? Why don't you guys come out? Like I said, don't forget, we do have some Future Sox swag. You guys mentioned the show or Future Sox in general. I will have a cigar waiting for some of you. Obviously, got to throw the asterisk as long as supplies last. We do have some opening day magnets. Bringing back the opening day magnet. It's not a schedule, unfortunately, but, you know, in White Sox, old-fashioned White Sox tradition, bringing back the opening day magnet. So yeah. Come see us. You know, come smack me in the head for my 74 win prediction. Tell me how much of an idiot I am, but be looking forward to seeing you guys out there. Like I said, look forward to some live updates on our Twitter feeds. We'll let you know exactly where we are. You know, eventually I'll be perusing my way through some of the crowds. So give me a holler. I got some stuff for you.
Awesome. He's Danny Miller at Danny Miller FS on the Twitter X. I am Nick Morawski at Nick_GGTB. Hey, until next time, go Sox.